Hello there, welcome back to Back on the Ball with Colin Lee and me, David Fitzgerald, and thanks once again to Wallen Solicitors and Greenwood's Accountancy. They're right behind us. Not with Dean Edwards this week, he's away, but Colin Lee is here. We're once again sat inside the giant glass football at the Cot Inn. This is ideal. This would be fantastic. Put a telly in the corner, get the FA Cup on.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, it would fit quite well in my back garden, actually, so it's different, let's put it this way. And like the last time we were here, it's still raining, so the best of days.
We had a clear spell of 4 or 5 days, and pitches are drying out, but of course we are coming to the end of the season, and the end of the season, it's odd. Who's up, who's down, who's performing, who isn't?
You generally look at the Premier League, and I think everyone is pretty shocked with the Liverpool results of late, which has obviously put them out of the race now, really. Obviously, it's a two-horse race now between Man City and Arsenal, Man City being the favourites. I think their next opponents, I believe, is Wolves at home. So, again, you would expect them to win that game. Having said that, Wolves have had a fantastic season. And I watched Man City play the other day, and they weren't at their best. I don't think it's so much pressure. Thing is, with Manchester City now, they've got the FA Cup final and they've got the Premier League. You know, they're out of Europe, which was quite sad, really. So they really have got some really important games, and I think they will do it. I think they'll win the double. I think they're favourites to win the FA Cup. Having said that, Manchester Derby, Manchester United not playing that well, but on the day, I've watched Manchester United and they're very, very good at counter-attack. And you'd expect Manchester City to have a majority of the ball, and therefore their plan on the day, I would assume, would be to counter-attack at pace, and they have got pace. You know, Rashford is an electric on his day.
Yeah.
So it'll be an interesting FA Cup final, and I think now that Manchester City have the ability to push over the top of Arsenal and end up as champions again.
What a change in Everton's life, especially against Liverpool. We're not going to harp on it, but if you were listening in the last couple of episodes, we had Lucy Weston on, who's, you know, died in the blue Evertonian and hasn't come down since.
No, and yourself as well, Fitz. Yeah. You know, when Chelsea beat Everton 6-0, everyone thought that that was the end, really. Yep. But, you know, I've been in situations like that as a manager where you go into a game and you plan everything, and unfortunately it doesn't go to plan. You try plan A, B, C, and on the day it just doesn't happen. And I think it was just one of those games which totally went against Everton. They got all the basics wrong, really, you know, individual players making mistakes. Chelsea, to a degree, playing quite well that day. But, you know, after the game finishes, as a manager, you have to get the players together then. You have to get the staff together, and I'm sure that Sean Dyche, who's a very experienced manager, I'm sure that, you know, the following 48 hours following that game had to work very, very hard psychologically with his team. And sometimes you have to spell it out to them, really. You have to sit down with them as individuals and then collectively. And I don't know what he did, and I don't think anyone knows what he did, but I think it wouldn't just be him, it would be his staff as well, because the morale in the team needed to be lifted immediately. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is to discuss situations, discuss individual performances, but not to slate players, you know, by rate, you know, going and in the wrong way. I think what I would have done, I'd have brought the players in individually and then spoke to them collectively, and really on the training field, really just look at the basics, you know, make sure that we defend together, make sure we attack together, we support each other, you know, we win the second balls, we win the 50-50s, we put more pressure on the team that we're playing against in and out of possession. And I think all these things, I'm sure he would have touched on, got the morale of the team back together, got the attitude of the team back, and obviously the results followed that, and full credit to both Sean Dyche, the players, and also the staff behind it.
It was an amazing match, amazing result. Got a great friend who's a Portsmouth fan, He's happy. They're up. Could be playing in the same league as Plymouth. Could be. But we'll see what happens next season, because obviously this is recorded before the weekend games going ahead. So good luck to Argyle. But again, actually, do you get money for going up these days in leagues?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, I was talking to, someone who's involved at Burton Albion, and Burton Albion last week retained their status in their league. And that was worth a huge amount of money to them.
Really?
Yeah, it could probably, I wouldn't say save them, but it will help them a lot. You know, I know Ben Robinson, the owner of Burton Albion, fairly well, and Ben's a great guy. You know, he's really built that club and supported it throughout. I think he was coming under pressure, and I think for me, in fact, his daughter's coming down this weekend to the Pirates at Brixham. She's coming down and staying with my daughter. So Fleur is actually at Wrexham. I think she's the secretary. So it'll be interesting to meet up with her and have a chat with her about the Wrexham situation. Because one of my ex-players who I work very, very closely with, Phil Parkinson, is actually the manager there. I sent Phil a message last season when they got promoted, and he came back and we had a conversation on text, if you like, and last week when they won promotion again, we were in touch. You know, I was so pleased for him. You know, he was a fantastic lad to work with as a player, and I'm so pleased that he's gone on to be a successful manager.
Listen, we'll just have a quick break here because Dino can't be with us at the moment. He's back up at Wolverhampton.
Yes, he's up there this week, helping his mum, actually. She's had a few problems with her apartment, from what I can gather. So he's spending a bit of time up there, but he's also meeting up with a few old friends. I think Mel Eaves is one of them, who hopefully he's done an interview with, and everyone can listen in on that once it arrives.
Yeah, that'll be appearing very soon. However, he did record a piece at my house. He just popped over. And him and his legendary partner, Pablo, the Siamese cat. Just have a listen to this.
I'm going back to God's country. I'm going back to Wolverhampton.
You've just promised me some Balti pies.
I will get you some Balti pies, specially made. They won't be handmade by myself. But there's a few people that I do know up there that make them especially, so I will bring them down to the West Country for you, and you can have them instead of the Cornish pasties.
Who are you going to see? What are you going to see?
So I'm up for the week. I will be seeing who's available, because I haven't contacted anybody yet. There'll be a few people of interest in the Wolves that I will be contacting. Mainly one of my old friends, Mel Eaves, who I manage with. And another one will be Peter Crump, who's the historian at the Wolves Museum. And obviously another few lads who I might be bumping into that I'll be about. Let's see what points of interest we can get from them.
Okay. Are you playing at the moment? Sorry, the team playing at the moment?
They're playing Luton tomorrow. I'll be at that game. Probably not the best game of the season, but obviously Luton will need to win to stay up. Big relegation dogfight now. Wolves just seem to be, well, they're just tailoring out at the moment. They got a lot of injuries. They can't seem to score goals, but, you know, they're giving it a go. It's just disappointing, because I think if Gary O'Neill could have kept the full team, they would have been challenging for at least a Europa spot now.
Yeah, well, I know the season is stuttering to a halt. You're not behind, are you, at the moment, game-wise? How the hell some clubs have got through with the weather, I just do not know.
I think I mentioned in a previous podcast the pitches now. I mean, they've got covers, they've got all kinds of things, the halogen lights, you know, there's barely any rain gets on it. In fact, to be fair, it wouldn't surprise me if they're not watering it in the Premier Leagues. It's just lower down, you feel for them, because I mean, I think somebody mentioned the other day, we've had four dry days since January.
Yeah.
And some non-league teams have had to play on other people's grounds. And it's just crazy, you know. It just really is. It's the weather, and we can't do nothing about that.
Well, have a great trip. Look after yourself. Do you want to take Pablo with you?
Well, I've just seen him made an appearance again. I mean, yeah, there he is, right on cue. Yeah, Pablo will be happy down here when he eats them Balti pies. We might keep him quiet for a bit.
Just a minute, I better go and introduce the listener to Pablo. Pablo is my Siamese. He's blind, unfortunately. He's 16 and he's noisy. Pablo, what do you think? What do you think of Wolves? He loves Wolves.
Or the Wobblers.
The Wobblers. Let's hear it. Let's hear it for the Wobblers. Dino and Pablo. I tell you what, Pablo marks him very well. Dino didn't get away from him at any point. Look, we were talking about the end of the season. Let's just touch on end of careers. When you see footballers coming to an end, there's normally a final match. What do you call it?
A testimonial. Testimonial. Sometimes. Yes. Yeah. Well,
did you have a testimonial?
No. I've played in a few testimonials. It's something that doesn't really happen anymore. I think if they had the testimonials now, I think the takings generally go to a chosen charity simply because of the amount of money they earn at the moment. You know, so. Yeah, there was a few testimonials that I played in and a few players that I played with who had testimonials, but I wasn't one of them. But I think, you know, when I look back and I look at players that I've played with, players that I've played against, and players who, you know, were better than me and they earned more money than me, but it's sad really, Fitz, when you look at players who didn't manage themselves correctly, you know, didn't manage their finances correctly, invested in the wrong things, listened to the wrong people. You know, I was quite fortunate, really. I met the right person when I was fairly young, married that person, and between us, you know, we worked together throughout my career. I chose to invest in the property market, and I quickly worked out that at that time, I think money in the bank was earning something like, I don't know, 10-15%, because it was quite high at that time.
Oh yeah, it was, yeah.
But I quickly worked out that if I invested in property, the property market was going up in excess of 20% per year. So, you know, it doesn't take a genius to work out that, you know, I could get another 5 or 10% by investing in property. But when I say investing in property, I wasn't buying property here, there and everywhere. What I was doing is we were buying a property, we were renovating it, doing it up, living in it and then selling it on. The reason behind that was we could only afford one house. It was a way of actually saving tax, if you like, because if you live in a property, as you know, and you sell it on, there's no tax. So it took us 24 moves in total to enable me to be able to retire and spend some more quality time with not just my wife but my family. You have to remember that, you know, when you're a footballer and when you're a football manager especially, it takes up every single minute of your day. I didn't realise until I retired how I'd missed seeing my children grow up, but also my wife was most of the time like a one-parent family. And it only rings home when you actually retire and you think, well, you know, I've actually missed out on a few things. But having said that, if I hadn't done what I did, then we wouldn't be where we are today. So now, with the grandchildren and everything, it's just turned out exactly how I tried to plan it. I've seen so many players, and it's so sad that, you know, they've ended up with nothing, and they've ended up in a situation where they chose the wrong route, if you like. They got involved in the wrong things and ended up with nothing, and a really... You're living from day to day, and that is sad, you know, for some exceptional players.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to open a pub. Everybody thinks we're going to retire and open a pub. Well, you just don't do that these days, no. Well, we're sat in one now, which is very successful, but those are very few and far between.
Yeah, I think it was, especially back in my time, it was like, you know, that was the route. You know, we're going to open a pub and we'll make a load of money and then we'll retire. Well, if you open a pub, generally speaking, people want to be involved with you because you've been an ex-player. That can lead to drinking, that can lead to really sending you down the wrong route, you know. Yeah. So you're drinking a lot, you're not really making any money, you're really just surviving. You know, I've seen that happen to a couple of players. They then get involved in the wrong things, really. You know, they're not able to invest, but they try to go down a route where they think it's an easy route, and nothing's easy. I think everyone looks back and looks at the success stories, but there's a lot of unsuccessful stories out there.
Sure.
That is sad. You know, I've got a couple of good friends in football. They're struggling at the moment. They still have to work. They still have to earn some money to be able to live from day to day. And they were players who were far better players than me and earned a lot more money than me, but unfortunately chose the wrong route.
After 24 moves, what do you think you've lost? How many shirts have you got? How many things have gone missing in your life?
Well, in 24 moves, I'm a very, very organised person. I'm quite OCD, really, and I'll tell you a story about OCD, right? When I was at Chelsea, I used to room with Dave Speedy, and he's still a big mate of mine. Whenever we went to our room on away games, I would always hang all my clothes up, and I have to put them in colours as well, by the way. You know, even at home, my shirts are white or white, the blue shirts are in blue, the black shirts are black, and even the trousers, grey, white, blue, whatever. So shoes absolutely in place, together. They can't be apart, they can't be one backwards, one front. They have to be absolutely spot on. So my room when we arrived, my clothes were hung up, my shoes were put exactly in straight positions and everything else. And without me knowing, a couple of the players noticed this. One away game, I went down for some evening meal with the team, and a few of them, and I think it was Eddie Nizveski, Mickey Thomas and Joey Jones, I think it was, ransacked my room. So when I came back in, everything was out of place. But prior to that, they'd came into my room and they had a bet on how long it would take me to recognise that something was out of place. And without me knowing, I don't know who it was, but they came in and they moved one of my shoes. I think it was after about, I don't know, about a minute or so, I looked across and went over and moved the shoe back, and they all went, yes, yes. You know, and so that was me, really. So, no, I mean, I'm a very organised person. I don't like things out of place. I like things, everything in place, basically. So when we moved house, we actually, you know, everything fitted. When we first started, I mean, we started in Bristol, bought a house for £7,500 in a terraced area in Bristol just near Bedminster, not far from what was the old Wills's cigarette factory. Everything needed doing there, and my old landlady, God bless her, came around to see Lynn and I. We didn't have a seat to sit on, and she started crying. She said, you can't move in here. And she said to her husband, she said, we've got to go back and get them some chairs. So our chairs, our first chairs in our first house, were actually sunbeds, you know, the sunbed chairs, which my old landlady gave to us because she was upset that we didn't have any chairs. And that's where we started. We had no central heating. I think everyone's got these stories, but we had nothing, but we were happy. The property was something that we wanted. It was an investment. It was our first investment. Well, that started us off on the property ladder. And when we sold that property, we moved on to down to Tynmouth in Devon when I moved to Torquay. Again, right. We did a little bit of work on that, but I was transferred to Tottenham fairly soon after that. And the move just kept going. You know, as we developed the properties, we sold on and invested our money again in a more expensive property that needed doing up again. You
right.
know? I'm pretty good at plumbing. I understand electric to a degree. And I used to do everything, really, you know, have a part of it. But I think I'm too old now, so I just do little bits around the property now.
Yeah, you know? It's the problem is, one, I am colourblind. Oh, do what? Not ask me to do anything that's wired. And actually, you've just reminded me, a dear old friend of mine, Frank Kelly, who played Father Jack in the Father Ted series. Yeah. And I asked him where he started his career, and he said, you know, he used to be on stage and the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin. He said, but we were, again, started out pretty small, him and his wife, lovely wife, Barbara. And we didn't have an oven in one place. So I used to turn the electric fire and put it on its back and put the pan on the front grill of the fire. And I'm thinking, oh my God. But if it worked, it worked.
Well, my wife used to work in a corner shop just down the road from where we lived, and she was earning more money than me at the time. My dad came up, and we had like two single beds pushed together, and I don't know where those beds came from, to be quite honest, but anyway, they were there, and my dad said, look, go down the road to the corner shop where Lynn works, because they sold beds and they sold furniture and all sorts of stuff there. Buy yourself a bed. So my dad bought our first bed because we didn't have one. I had a guy doing the central heating, and my job was to pull up the floorboard, one floorboard a week, because he used to deliver one length of copper pipe a week and solder it together, and that's how we did it, you know. And it was, you know, you look back, but it was great, you know. It was can I say, rewarding to see what we were doing, but also I think when you look back, you think, well, you know, things weren't that easy at that time, professional football players. Well, I was an apprentice footballer. No, I was a first-year pro footballer then. And we didn't earn a lot of money. You know, we earned good money when we became regular first-team players. Mm. But in between that, it was very, very difficult. And as I said just now, my wife had to work and she was earning more money than me. So between us, throughout our lives, we've worked together and we've made things happen. And, you know, without her support and without really us working together, we wouldn't be sat here now talking about a retirement, which, you know, I must say is enjoyable, you know, yeah, because yeah. I haven't really got the pressures of the lads who made the wrong decisions. I don't have to work, and that's not being blasé. I don't have to work. You know, I'm not a multi-millionaire, but, you know, I can make ends meet and I can look after my family if need be, and that's all that matters to me, really.
Well, it's been a great career. It's been a great podcast again. Thanks, Colin. We need to mention what's coming up in the future with not only the Euros, the FA Cup. You're organising a bash.
Everyone needs to know that on May the 25th, which is the FA Cup final, Manchester City versus Manchester United, 3 p.m. kickoff. We will be kicking off, I reckon, around about midday at Tynmouth Rugby Club. And we're doing a live podcast there. It'll be great. There's prizes for a draw. There's going to be various things going on there with regards to first goal scored, last goal scored, all these type of things to involve the audience. So tickets can be bought from Tynmouth Rugby Club. They're on sale as we speak. I think we're able to accommodate 100 people today. I looked at it and we've sold 44 tickets today already. So if you're out there and you want to join us, that's the 25th for the FA Cup final at Tynmouth Rugby Club, then you need to buy the tickets ASAP.
Brilliant. Colin, fantastic. Dino, thank you, wherever you are. The one thing he did promise me, he was going to bring back a tray of Balti pies.
Balti, the famous Balti pies. Yeah, yeah, they are famous. Have I had one? Yes, I have. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you will enjoy it. Yeah, I'm sure you will. And
what were the pies like at Chelsea?
I don't think I ate the pies at Chelsea. I don't think so. well, we never had pre-match when we played at home anyway. You know, we literally came from home, travelled down in our cars, parked the car up, and played the game, and ended up in the players' bar afterwards having a couple of beers. My wife used to take the car and go home, and I used to stay on with Dave Speedy. And Dave was one of these lads who absolutely loved being part of the supporters. He used to drag me around to a pub around the Fulham, just down from the Fulham Road. And he used to go, believe it or not, we used to go in that pub after the games, the home games. And I used to say to Dave, "Dave, I'm not going to stay until late at night. I'm going to leave at 6:30, 7 o'clock, because I've got to get home." And we were in his car, and on numerous occasions we'd go there, and he'd end up playing pool with the supporters after the game. And I'd sit at the bar, because I was going to be driving, having a Coke or something, and then about 6:30, this set of keys would come flying through the air, land in front of me, and I'd look at Speedo and he'd go, "I'll see you tomorrow, Colin," you know? And he used to just stay in the pub and have a drink and play pool with the supporters.
Lovely.
You know, you can't imagine that happening today.
No. No. I can just see Beckham leaning against the bar.
Yeah.
No.
But
no.
Don't forget, you know, Dave Speedy was a really, really good player and an international player. But it meant nothing, you know, to us then. It was just part of it was a job, you know, and we looked upon it as our being our job. Dave just loved being in amongst the supporters, and he was thankful for the supporters as well. That's what happened. We used to just go around to the pub. He used to play pool. I used to wait for him. And 9 times out of 10, I'd drive home on my own, because he would stay on and catch a taxi home. God knows what time, but, you know, yeah. he would get there eventually.
Well, a glimpse of the past once again. Back on the Ball with Colin Lee and me, David Fitzgerald. And thanks once again to Wallen Solicitors and Greenwood's Accountancy. They're right behind us. Thank you for being right behind us. We'll speak very soon.